Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Twin Flame Radio. My name is Divine Queen, and I'm here with my co-host, Chris Enlighten. Chris, say what's up to the fam.
What's good? Konnichiwa. Hola. Bonjour. Man, it's a great day today, family.
Chris was already on it.
It's a great show today. It's a great day today. It's just some momentous things happened this weekend, babe.
Yes, indeed. we definitely will, that the family had a wonderful weekend, because, man, did we. We had a wonderful week.
We had a wonderful week. Since the last time we talked, we became some gods. Let's just be real. I don't know if you want to go into that with the family or what, but.
Well, in all fairness, we were already gods. Sure. But what we have done is we stepped up our game.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it like that. For the fam that don't know, we are a part of the Solar Rejuvenation Community. Shout out to the SRC.
Ooh, the Solar, oh my goodness.
Can they get out of front of us?
Please. Hey. Even Magical Hints and Sis, those three groups spew nothing but love,
mm-hmm.
positive affirmations,
mm-hmm.
motivation.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a spiritual virtual blankie or something. You know, when you were young, you had that blankie that you would just hug up to and nestle with and
mm-hmm.
just be like, That's what these groups are, man.
That's the thing, though, fam. When you're on this enlightened path, you come across so many beautiful souls. There's so many beautiful people out there, people who want nothing but the best for you.
Mm.
They encourage you. They help enlighten you. I mean, it's just nothing but pure love. It's nothing but pure love. But, you know, if you don't know, the Solar Rejuvenation Community is founded by Pastor Jamil. And he founded this group due to some practices that were taught by the master, Dr. Mitchell Gibson, and his wife, Kathy Gibson. Masters, indeed. Shout out to the masters. Oh, my goodness. Don't even get me started on that. I could spend a whole hour just talking about
that. I could spend a whole year. I could spend a whole lifetime talking about those two. They're just so beautiful. No words.
Yeah, and they're a big inspiration to us. They're the reason why we are who we are and
mm-hmm.
why we do what we do.
Definitely.
You know, along with the rest of our spiritual fam. Shout out to the spiritual fam as well.
He's spiritual fam.
But, you know, along with, you know, back with what we did, one of the practices that Dr. Mitchell Gibson teaches is a way to communicate with the sun. And what we have been very successful in completing this week is we were able to communicate with the sun. We were able to make the sun blink.
I don't think they heard you.
We were able to make the sun go blink, blink, blink.
Blinkily, blinkily, blink. Blink, blink, blink. Blinkily, blinkily, blink. Blink. I mean, just when you make the sun blink, it does something to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you realize that there's more to life than what you've been told.
Yes, indeed.
And when you're looking up at the sun, it's doing nothing for you.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look up to the sun, it's blinking. And what I do is record the blinks just so you don't think I'm crazy. So I got proof
mm-hmm.
that we both made the sun blink.
Through the tools that Dr. Master Mitchell Gibson has provided to us, free tools that you pay for,
mm-hmm.
just being in a part of a community where people are supporting you,
mm-hmm.
I count that as a tool.
That is a tool.
But with the tools that he's provided to us, he has made it possible for us to communicate with the sun. The sun is how far away from us?
Some billion light years
it's
away.
Like,
not even light years, but some million miles.
It's like 93 billion or, you know, I don't recall.
A lot of miles.
I don't make up a number, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
And for it to blink back at you, and not just one little blink, not little shutters. You know, we're talking about some real deal blinks, fam.
Real deal blinks.
And when you're able to do this important test, this important, you know, passage,
Rite of spiritual passes.
Exactly.
I like that.
What happens is that you become an immortal, divine, conscious soul.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that you don't have to reincarnate on this planet again.
If you don't choose
to. If you choose not to.
You can move on to the higher realms of existence.
Mm.
And the master said that he needed 144
yes.
to complete this task.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have thousands.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be many more after that. But what we need is 144.
Now, my wife was the 100th. The divine queen was the 100th divine conscious soul. And it was something about her making the sun blink that just it just affected me in a way that made me so diligent at my practices that I became a real life solar junkie.
Yes, you did.
I'm on business calls at work. I see the sun come out the clouds. I got to take a break. I got to go downtown, go down to outside and see the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a momentous day, family.
Yeah, so I became number 100.
Mm-hmm.
Very proud of that. But, you know, not too long afterward, what number were you, Chris?
102. 102. 102.
So you were right on my heels.
Right on your heels. Right. Oh, my, coming
hey,
in second.
As long as you're there with me, that's all I care
about. That's all that matters. Mm-hmm. We're all winners, all 102 of us.
Mm-hmm. And the many more that are coming out.
And many more. And we're able to see in our soul generation, well, rejuvenation group, we're able to see people's progress.
Mm-hmm.
You can see their first. They're looking at the sun, saying their ancient divine prayers, mantras, what have you, and you can see their growth.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying they're making any mistakes, but the people in the group encourage them, give them tips on how to maximize their solar work.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say shout out to everyone. It's thousands of people in that group,
yes.
Thousands of good souls in that group. I want to shout out to you all, but, man, I love you all.
I want to shout you out as a whole.
As a whole.
We love you.
Love you.
We want to shout out to our good friend and spiritual fam, S. Ali Myers.
You know what I'm saying?
So he had a little
He's going out there first time to get it to blink. You know,
right.
It took me about a week to get it to blink. But, you know, his first time out there is blinking. So
it was a good blink.
Pick up the S. Ali Myers.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Tell about the atmosphere we're going around. Let me be real descriptive about what we got going on here, babe.
Sure, go ahead.
Oh, my God. We're setting the mood because we're talking about altars.
Oh, yes.
We have the sage burning right now.
Mm-hmm.
We got the incense, the amber incense,
mm-hmm.
the sandalwood incense, all in my incense tower where the smoke slowly bellows out the side and the top. So we're getting this smooth, zesty, fresh scent. And then I have the prosperity incense cone sitting on top of my Anubis. That's Anubis, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my. It's just such a nasal aroma therapy going on right now, family.
Yes, our energy is just like on cloud nine.
Candle lit, we making a sun blink. It's just, man.
All right, well, that's enough about our weekend. Like we said, we will, that you also had a great weekend. But for right now, we're about to get in on this show.
Because
like you said, we're going to be talking about altars today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably one of the most common questions that come up is, you know, well, what is an altar and why do I need one? And, you know, how do I go about setting up an altar? And, you know, is this, you know, spooky or,
a lot of people don't know what an altar is. They have, everyone heard the term altar.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I go around asking folks, you ever heard of an altar? They're like, yeah, I heard of it. I'll say, well, what is it? They look at me baffled like, I don't know. Well, I just want to tell the family that I just want to break down what an altar is.
Mm-hmm.
To me, an altar is an external representation of the spiritual core of who we really are. It's a way of showing in tangible form what is happening in our heart. When you look at an altar, you see an outward expression of an inner act that recognizes our spiritual character. To me, the altar is just a representation in physical form, your spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say an altar is.
I would agree with that.
Before I even start, I want to give a shout out to the first people that introduced us to these altars like 3 years ago.
Oh, it was longer than that.
It was a while. I don't even know how long. It was a while, but I want to give a shout out to Sweet Sister Splash here in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they were the first people to really open our eyes. We went to an altar seminar.
A workshop.
Mm-hmm. You want to go on in on that?
Well, we got invited to this altar workshop down at this great little spot down here in Cincinnati.
It's called a cultural center.
Mm-hmm. Called Sweet Sister Square. Shout out to Daphne and Zynga.
Shout out to the Zestars.
Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, you go to this workshop, and we were taught you know, what, you know, everything that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
What an altar is, how do you get one set up,
mm-hmm.
the importance of having an
mm-hmm.
altar, how do you work at your altar,
mm-hmm.
how do you increase your spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we went to this workshop, fell in love.
Fell in love.
We went out that weekend and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're buying stuff for our altars.
Yeah.
And, you know. Oh, man. Our first altars, they were so...
They were quite and cute.
They were. I was going to say they were kindergarten. They were at that beginning stage.
They were at the beginning
but
stage.
But there's nothing wrong with that because everyone goes through that stage.
Yeah.
And you know what I love? Especially in the subcom community, when people share their altars and the beginners who share their altars, I think it's just so beautiful. It's like sharing a baby picture.
It is. It's like a baby walking for the first time, even though they all crooked and stumbling over. You're like, oh.
Because you see what it's going to grow into.
It's always.
It always grows.
I've never known someone to create an altar and it just stay that.
Nah.
It always progresses as your connection gets stronger.
Mm-hmm.
You add more things to your altar. The spirit is going to lead you to the tools you need.
Mm-hmm. So before we get in too deep on altars, I just want to kind of go over that there's different types of altars.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, the history of altars is that they've been around since the beginning of time. Before it was even documented, we've been practicing the use of altars. And basically what it is that it's a platform or an area or
a spiritual workshop
where you basically go and you just pay respect to your ancestors, to the gods, to the creator. And with that, there's several different types of altars. So you can have your ancestor altar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the one that most people are familiar with or maybe not so familiar with. And this is just basically a place where you go and you pay respect to your ancestors. Then you have your deity altars.
Mm-hmm.
And this may be where you pay respect to certain gods or different gods and goddesses. You can also do a combination of the two where you have your ancestors and your deities combined on an altar.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't think that you should do it that way. We're fans of do what feels right.
Your altar is your sacred space. Whatever you deem is correct, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Your altar is your, I'm not sure if you guys know anything about AutoCAD. I'm sure I got a smart audience, so I know they do. It's just a way of making something out of nothing. It's your own sacred space where you can create and manifest at your will.
And probably the most popular would be like a meditation altar.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will just go to a certain space that they've dedicated to where they can just go in and get their meditation work in at.
Mm-hmm.
There's Zen altars, there's outside garden altars, there's crystal altars, Buddha altars, magic altars, you name it, you can do it.
And they're everywhere.
Everywhere.
You know, here in America, people are doing it,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the mainstream yet. But if you go to any Chinese restaurant on the block, they'll have an altar there. They'll have a deity there.
Mm-hmm.
But since it's so out of your paradigm, you will look at it and it will just blow right past you. You're like, why are they wasting that bread?
Or you may not even see it.
You might not even see it.
Before we had our altars up, I didn't even see the altar. We would go to different restaurants
mm-hmm.
and eat. I didn't even notice that they had altars up.
Well, they got that elephant right there. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the altar is just, for the people who are coming out of religion or still in religion, altars are involved in, you know, in the religion. If you go to church, there's an altar in your church.
Yeah.
And what do? You go to the front, you kneel down, you pray, you give an offering,
mm-hmm.
you provide food and drink. Sometimes you even, you know, partake in food and drink. But it's the same thing. It's just a different type of platform.
Yeah. I mean, all nationalities do it.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese do it. Indians do it. Latinos do it. Hispanics do it. Everybody does it.
They all do it. Well, why is having an altar so important, you think?
You know me. You know, I'm going to steal my homie's word. S.I. Lee Myers, who used to always tell me years ago, more altars, less problems.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the time when we first met, I didn't have a lot of problems, but I did have some issues that I needed to work on.
Mm-hmm.
I followed his lead, created, my fault, constructed my altar, and my problems went away. Mm-hmm. I mean, my problems literally have gone vamoose. You know what I mean? They're gone. I don't have any problems anymore.
I like the more altars, less problems, because we have, how many altars do we have?
I don't even know. We got like three, four in the living room, two in the bed, three in the bedroom. They're everywhere. Our house has literally turned to a museum, a spiritual museum. It's a haven for spiritual tools. I've been told I have an uncanny ability to find spiritual tools.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I look at the altar as like my reality cheat code.
Hmm.
This is a place where I can go. I can petition to the gods what I want, give them an offering, give myself a date on when I want it to occur, give thanks, and sit back and watch it occur. It's as simple as that. You go to the altar, you give thanks in advance for what you want. You ask them, you give an offering, and you're good. But you have to be consistent with it, family. You can't go like on Monday and say, I want a new car Friday, and boom, you got a new car. The spirit doesn't work on time like that.
It's also a place where you're just paying respect to your ancestors. Some people do it after a loved one has transitioned. You go to their gravesite,
mm-hmm.
and you deliver flowers.
Mm-hmm.
You sit there and you pray with them. You talk to them. Pour out some liquor. Leave them some food. Leave their favorite things behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is the same thing, family. So when we say ancestors, a lot of people go, what do you mean ancestors? What are your ancestors? And ancestors is just your family line.
Your dead relatives, known and unknown.
Known and unknown.
That's one of the first things I say at my altar. I give thanks to the elements, the universe. I say all my deity's name, and then I go down to my ancestors, known and unknown.
And a lot of people say, why would I care about my ancestors? To which we respond,
why not?
Right?
I tell people all the time, do you miss your ancestors?
Right.
You know, I gotta love my grandmothers, the woman that helped raise me, my great aunt, she was like my mom. They're gone. And, you know, before I erected my altar, I was missing them heavy. Some days when everybody was gone or asleep, I was just laying in bed and crying like, I miss them so much. But now I have an altar, and the connection is stronger than ever. I talk to them, I give them food, I give them what they want, and they come to me in my dream. And it's such a refreshing experience to know that you've established a connection with someone that's transitioned.
So some of the things that you can do to help your ancestors when you're on your altar, when your ancestors pass on, what happens is that there's a part of them that is still in a different realm. And in this realm, they need our help. They need food. They need water. They need money. They need attention. They need love.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is how we help our ancestors, you know, survive in that realm.
I mean, just like a baby is born, they have to have a mother coddle them and give them food, clothing, shelter. When your ancestors transition, they're in like a disoriented state. They need things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you miss your ancestors, why not give them what they need? Now, when we put food on the altar, they're not going to physically bite into the steak or anything like that. But the energy that resides in that steak is what they can feed off of.
Exactly, because everything is energy, right?
Everything broken down to a molecular level has the same energy source, the godlike particle.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
So another question that we often get is, well, do they respond to you? What happens when you take care of your ancestors?
I was told when I erected my ancestor altar that within two weeks, I would get me a response. And, you know, I was thinking, well, I don't know about that, but, you know what, let me give it a shot. And within 2 weeks, I got my confirmation. My confirmation came on the back of a license plate the first time. A second time, it came to me in a dream, a vivid dream. So you will get a confirmation if you're diligent and you stick at it and you're there every day and you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that confirmation will be just for you.
So the most important thing about having an altar up is just making that connection with your ancestors.
Yeah.
And with that, you were talking about dreams. So I know for me, when I put my altar up, my confirmation came through dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And my great-great-grandmother had passed away almost 20 years ago, probably about 18 years ago before I had put my altar up. And, you know, I thought about her on occasion, but, you know, it wasn't, she had been gone so long that it wasn't one of those things where I was still hung up on, you know, her transition or anything. But immediately, family, as soon as I put this altar up and I paid respect to my grandmother, I had her obituary on there, and I spoke to her and I fed her and, you know, prayed and everything, immediately she was in my dreams. And my dreams were so enhanced that it got to the point where she was talking to me, she was letting me know she was okay. And one of the strangest things that happened was that she came to me later after, you know, doing this for some time. She came to me later and informed me that my grandmother, her daughter, was about to transition over.
Mm.
And, I mean, that was just, if that wasn't a wake-up call or a confirmation or whatever, you know, it don't take a lot for me.
I remember when your grandma wasn't, she was sick, but she wasn't quite sick yet, like to the point where she was about to transition, and you came to me and was like, wow, my great-grandmother pretty much told me to go see my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to go see her, and your grandma was really excited to see you, and I'm glad that you got to see her that last time.
Because we didn't have a very close relationship, but she was really happy to see me, and I was really happy to see her, and you know, I cherish that time that I had with her before she did transition over. So I thank my great-grandmother for, you know, keying me in on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are the kind of things that will happen. When you look out for your ancestors, they in turn look out for you. And it's not that, you know, they're waiting for you to do something for them first. It's that you open up that gateway so that they can do something for you.
Everything's a two-way street. You're not going to be mean to one, and they're going to be loving to you. If you're loving something, you're giving positive energy out there, it's going to come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the ancestors do at the altar. And it's not just about you just taking care of something. You have, physically, we take showers and we feel better.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to your altar, you're burning your sage, you're lighting a candle, you're saying your mantras, you're meditating, you're giving your ancestors food, the whole experience is like a spiritual bath. When you're done, you have this spiritual euphoric feeling that makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before I go to work sometimes, I burn some money, I go to my altar, and I give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I do it when I get home from work. Sometimes I do it late night. It all depends on my schedule and when I feel it. But I get it in every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. And let's say you go on vacation and you can't get it in. One of two things, you can bring a mini altar, or you can take a picture of your altar, go in the bathroom, light a candle, and have your session there. The thing about pictures that people don't realize is pictures carry the energy of the place where you're at. So if you got a sacred place at home and you've built up all this positive energy, you can take a picture of that energy and take it with you and pull from that energy at your will.
Well, I'm going to jump ahead and just talk about like some of the things that you would need in order to set up an altar so that the family can kind of get an understanding of
how to make one.
Yeah, how to make one, because we're talking about some of the things and they're like,
You know, I don't want to just jump into it right off, because I don't want to, you know, I want to show people the loving aspect of it first and then break into the construction of one. So go ahead, babe, do your thing.
Okay, so one of the things that you want to do is you want to get some sort of table, a bookshelf.
Preferably wood.
Definitely wood. Natural wood is best.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people message me today, as a matter of fact, well, what if I can't set an altar up? Or what if I don't have a wood table? And family, believe me, I know. My very first altar was a metal and glass nightstand.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little round table. I had no space.
Mm-hmm.
The master, Dr. Mitchell Gibson, states that you don't want to have an altar in your bedroom, and I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you don't have anywhere to place an altar at all, I think that having one in the bedroom is better than not having anything at all.
Yeah.
That's just my personal opinion.
You know, there was once a young lady I was talking with on Facebook, and she sent me a private message, and she was telling me that her father lived with her, and he didn't approve of altars. Even though it was her, spot, he didn't approve of it. So I told her to, to make it easy to give and take, put it in your drawer, And she did so, and she would go there at night, open up her drawer, have a little session, and shut the drawer.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like to make excuses as to why I don't do something. Just do it.
Find a way to do it.
Just do it. I don't care if you got one. If you don't even have any pictures, write the names down of people you love. Put it on there. Give some water. Give some food. And just give thanks on the regular and see what happens.
So when I had my altar, and it wasn't, I didn't have a whole lot. My first altar, like I said, it was a glass table, glass and metal table, little round nightstand. And all I had, fam, was my grandmother's obituary,
mm-hmm.
a candle,
mm-hmm.
some flowers,
mm-hmm.
I think a crystal.
One grape. It was more than one grape.
It was so incense. I tried to cover all of the basic, things like your elements, your fire, your water, your
mm-hmm.
wind, your earth. But what I did was I loved my altar, but I knew it should have been something so much more.
At the time when you constructed it, you didn't really have the knowledge and you didn't have the information on how to construct it, but something innate in you knew that it had to be more.
Exactly.
And I'm like you, I had a little wooden table.
Mm-hmm.
I had a book with some names in it, some water, some pictures, some incense, and I don't even think I was burning sage yet, was I?
Man. But one of the things that I did, fam, was I worked at my altar, and every time that I was at my altar, every day that I was at my altar, I gave thanks for my ancestors helping me to provide a more conducive space where I could honor and respect them.
Mm-hmm.
And almost immediately, that space came.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was funny because we didn't have any room to put an altar up.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter was I wasn't making room for the altar.
There you go. You weren't making room.
So I made room. I moved
mm-hmm.
the furniture around.
Mm-hmm.
I made it work.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out and found this beautiful bookshelf that was the last one
mm-hmm.
on sale,
mm-hmm.
meant for me.
Yeah.
Got it. When my grandmother passed away, I had no pictures of my family.
Mm-hmm.
I just come from a family where, we don't take a lot of pictures, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no pictures of my family or anything like that. And I begged, I didn't beg. I thanked my ancestors for providing me with the
tools.
I need a picture, baby.
Dagger. Go ahead, spiritual beggar.
We're going to have to go to a commercial break. No, but I did. I worked with my altar, and my ancestors found a way for me to get pictures and add them onto my altar.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted certain deities and everything to put on my statue.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go to look for it, online, and it would be so expensive. And I would go, I just can't invest in this right now. And I would go back and I would, prior to going back, I would meditate on it. I would go to my altar and think about it and thank the ancestors for providing them for me. And I would go back to the same website 2 days later, and the deity would be marked down like 50% off or something. And it would be like maybe one or two left. And so, it's just that kind of confirmation. These are the things that happen when you start getting your altar in the motion and you put the work in and you do what you're supposed to do. So, like we were just saying, pictures. You want to add pictures. And the reason why you want to add pictures is because it just helps you to get that connection going to the people that were once in your life. But what if you don't have pictures?
Write their name down in the book.
Like you said, right?
Write their name down. Write their, if you know their birth date. What's more important is their death date. When you're born in this reality, you have a birth certificate. It marks when you spiraled into this earth. But what counts on the other side is your death date. That's when you spiral into the existence in that reality.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the birth and death date, along with the name, that's just as powerful as a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I like to do to set the mood, when I go to my altar, the first thing I do is light my candle. Fire is one of those elements that transcends through different realities. When I light a candle in this reality, the spirit realms see that light.
It's like ringing a doorbell.
It's like ringing a doorbell. It's exactly like ringing a doorbell. After I ring that doorbell, I light some sage. I crack the window and I light me some sage. I go around my deities, my altar, and myself in my sacred space, and I say my mantra. And I hope, and I allow all that negative energy to go out the window.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I burn the Palo Santo, or the holy wood, as some people call it.
Mm-hmm.
It smells amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The sage has a musky. I love it. It's nasally attractive to me. I love it.
I love it too. I can smell it all day.
I can smell it all day too. But the Palo Santo has a delicious sandalwood like smell that's amazing.
I can smell that all day too.
And what the Palo Santo does is the sage takes away the negative energy, and the Palo Santo invites positive energy in.
Mm.
So I burn the sage first, then the Palo Santo second, and then I light my incense, and then I get busy.
So what we like to do is we closely follow, or I should say exactly follow, the master, Dr. Mitchell Gibson, also S. Ali Myers, who introduced us into the masters. But what we do is prior to setting food and water on the altar, we light a candle because, like we said, that's like ringing a doorbell. That's letting the ancestors know we're here, we're home, we're about to get it in. So with the food is probably always the most confusing part for people, and that's the part that people really don't want to partake in.
Anyways, no food. Any steak, potatoes. I'm out here eating what? Oatmeal. If you eat oatmeal, don't give your ancestors oatmeal. Nah, I'm just saying. If you eat oatmeal, that's all you can afford. Give your ancestors some oatmeal. I like to give my ancestors a little bit of what I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on Sundays and birthdays and special days, I like to give them a little something else, some strong meat. You want to say something?
Well, we started out, when we first started doing our altars, we would just give them like a little taste of our food,
mm-hmm.
just a couple tablespoons or something like that, and whatever was on our plate. And, you know, now we understand that, you know, that's fine and all, if that's all you can do, but if you can give more, why not give more?
Yeah.
So I like to go all out for the ancestors. I like to give them, you know, special foods that I know that they like.
Yeah.
And not just ancestors, the deities, the
mm-hmm.
gods, the goddesses as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and then, like you said, special occasions, we like to go all out. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
we'll do steak.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we'll do, you know, big fish dinners.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we'll go out to eat. We order another meal for the ancestors.
Uh-huh.
You know, and people are looking at us like, why are you ordering an extra plate? They don't know. They don't know. But before we go any deeper, I just want to remind the fam that you can give us a call at 619-924-0835. If you're already on the line, you can hit number 1 and let us know that you have a question, and we'll bring you on. But we got so much to cover, and hopefully we can get this all in on one show. If not, you know, I don't have a problem with doing part 2, but,
yeah.
You know, let's just keep it going.
What's going on? What type of food? We talked about food, what,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, what I like to do is always have, like, some staple food there, like some beef loaf. I don't open the whole beef loaf. What I do, if it's wrapped in plastic, I put a little slit in it so the ancestors can feed off the energy of the beef loaf.
Beef loaf on our altars for how long now?
About 4 or 5 months now.
I think it's been longer than that.
I'm gonna say 4 or 5 months, but, hey, I don't even know anymore.
I don't know.
It's not gone bad. And
no.
I also have a bowl of rice, a bowl of dried rice.
Mm-hmm.
They can feed off that. And I keep some vegetables and fruit over there. It's like $10, $15 worth of food over there at all times now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that when I keep food over there, I get a stronger response from my ancestors. I feel the energy over there a little stronger.
Mm-hmm. another thing, you talked about the fruits and veggies.
Mm-hmm.
What we've noticed is that when you put this type of food on your altar, and again, this is called your staple food, and this is just basically food that can just sit over there for longer than 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
When you're given a normal food offering, you want to give your offering, say your peace, spend your time over there, do your little thing, and the food shouldn't sit on the altar no longer than 24 hours. You do not want food to go bad. You don't want to draw bugs. You don't want to have foul odors or anything like that in the room. And that's the part that always scares people because they're like, oh, I just can't leave food sitting out. It bugs me. What if, we draw in bugs? You can put a plastic cover, like a
Tupperware bowl or something
like
that. We clean. Nothing against people who, may have bugs. I understand that. But we've had our food open. We've never had an issue.
Never had an issue.
Just clean your home and you'll be fine.
And that's the thing. When you really take care of your altar, when you're working with your altar, when you're doing your work and everything, nothing like that is going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
When you're doing the things that you're doing them properly and you're following the way you're supposed to, no, you won't have to worry about it anymore.
You know what? When I first put my altar up, I was told to do a test. I was told to get an apple, put it on my altar, take an apple from the same batch, and just leave it on the counter.
Yes.
Within like a week or two, the one I left on the counter was getting not moldy, but was denting, turning brown, withering away. The one that was on my altar, I kept it on my altar for 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
After 7 months, I was like, wait a minute here. Is this thing petrified or something? I cut into it, and it was still juicy. It was still juicy after 7 months.
Now,
I wanted to bite into it, but I was like, I don't know.
I'm glad you said that because another question that we get asked is, what do you do with the food afterwards? We like to throw our food away. That's just us.
Yeah.
Some people will eat the food.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what you like to do, do you?
I look at eat my altar food like, well, someone come to your plate and eat your food.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah.
You may program your altar different.
Right.
You may want your ancestors to spiritually season your food and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Me personally, if I'm giving something to someone, I'm not going to be a spiritual Indian giver. I'm not going to give it and then take it away.
Okay. So we talked a little bit about the staple foods, and what we've noticed is, let me just say this. Say you have to go out of town, and you can't tend to your altar. You can't give them food on a daily. So if you leave these staple foods, veggies, fruits, dried rice, beans, nuts, things of that nature on the altar, this is pretty much letting your ancestors know that, here's a smorgasbord for you until I get back, pretty much. You can also do, like, a portable altar and take your altar with you when you go out of town and give your offering there.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't like to do that. It's a lot of hassle, understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Me, personally, I like to just set up an abundance of food for them to just
feast off of while we're gone.
Exactly.
Yeah, they understand.
Mm-hmm. So another thing... you light the candles. You can also, you said the incense and the Palo Santo and the sage and fun things that you can burn. Ancestor money. Don't you tell the fam why ancestor money is so important?
I'm personally a spiritual pyromaniac. I love to burn things. I have a nice little cauldron at my altar. And when you burn money for your ancestors, I burn at least $20 billion a night. And I burn Joss paper. The sole purpose of Joss paper is ancestor money for your ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
When you burn the money, what I like to do is grab the money with my right hand, roll it up, light it, and put it in my cauldron as an offer to the ancestors with my right hand in the cauldron.
Mm-hmm.
And when the smoke goes up, I imagine two pillars opening and my ancestors getting that money.
Mm-hmm.
But what's actually happening is once I burn that $10 billion, it goes into like a money bag for my ancestors to pull from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've had thousands of ancestors in my lifetime. So when I burn $10 billion, the ancestors will get a little bit. Well, if I just burn a $10,000 bill, everybody might just get $1.
Right.
Well, let's say it's my great aunt Emma's birthday, and I want to do something special for her.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take a little red dragon bug ink, and I'll write on the dollar her name and her birthday and her death date.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, this is for you, Aunt Emma, and I burn it for her. Now, she can take that $10 billion that I just gave her, and she can dispense that money accordingly, as she will. But if I just burn that money without putting anyone's name on it or saying this is for so-and-so, the entire lineage of who I am gets some money.
We got a caller on the line, but I'm going to ask that you hold just a wee bit longer because you just brought up a really good tip. You were saying that you like to offer your money and let the ancestors know that you're offering their money.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, a lot of people want to know, what do you do or what do you say before you give an offering? Or what do you do or say at your altar?
You know, when I've first come to my offer, I give an abundance of thanks. I give thanks to the universe, the stars, the planet. I give thanks to the elements, earth, wind, and fire. I name off all my deities, and every time I see a deity's name, I say thanks for keeping me and my family safe. And then I finish off with, I give thanks for my ancestors. I love you, and thanks for keeping me and my family safe.
Mm-hmm.
I may do a little meditation. I may say a couple ancient divine mantras and divine prayers. And when I'm done, I say, please take up this food, take the energy from this food and this water, and here's some money for you. And I burn some ancestor money for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
You can spend 10 minutes. You can spend 5 minutes. You can spend an hour at your altar. It's up to you. It's up to you. In the beginning, I was at my altar for like an hour.
I remember that.
One time, I almost burned down my altar, but I'm not going to speak about that. That's a later show. I figured you would. I wanted to get it in first, though. I always put me on blast.
Wouldn't be fun if I didn't.
Yeah, but, you know, what I always do is just say, this is what my ancestors done and no. Please take up this money and use it as you please. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk to them as if they're here. When they were living, they spoke English, most of them that I can remember, so I talk to them in that language.
Mm-hmm.
I keep it simple, family. I don't look at my altar as this spooky place.
No.
I look at it like my sacred space.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a secret side of them that no one sees and they don't show to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's how my altar is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm free, I'm real, and I'm real direct with my ancestors, too. Whenever you petition the gods and the universe and your ancestors for whatever it is you want, be direct. You don't want to be at your altar like, I want a blue shoe, you don't want to be like that. Get your mind straight when you go there. It's not a place, it's not time for play.
No.
You go over there, you be direct with what you want, you say it, you give thanks in advance, and watch it happen.
That's it. That's all you do. All right, so we're going to go to the calls. We have a caller from the 713-497. Peace, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Peace, family. My name is Adrian, last name Greatness. How y'all doing?
I've had people inbox me like, man, that Adrian, that voice. I was like, I know, man. I know. This is real. This is not made up.
I wanted to call in and speak to the newest members of the Rockefeller team. The guys. Y'all waking up Mounds and y'all, you know, it's a big summer. Summer 16 for y'all.
Man.
All summer 16.
For real,
man.
Man.
Mm-hmm. This year, the 9 has been amazing.
Hanuman? What? Hanuman is the deity for my birthday, Sweetie's Day, October 18th, 1975. So I just say, the year of the 9, whew.
Definitely. I wanted to call in and speak about the altars. I started out with a borrowed coffee table from the living room.
Mm-hmm.
to my bedroom, and I kind of gave this disclaimer to my roommates, like, look, this is what I'm about, because it was a big shift in my life, and I was like, look, I'm about to, y'all might see some things in my room, just know that it's not spooky, it's just, you know, what I have to do. And when I moved out of that apartment into my next apartment, my altar was a storage container. And I had a cauldron, and I had a few crystals on there, and I was still getting it in. But from altar to altar, I was still, I didn't see it as what it was. I saw it as I need something to do the work, you know, because I was like, if I have to do this in the trunk of my car, I'm still going to get these offerings, you know. I'm going to get it going. It's nothing that's going to stop me from doing the spiritual work. But, you know, last but not least, I've evolved to my altar being, I don't know, it's just something like somebody rich would have. But it didn't happen overnight, you know, piece by piece. I built it up to something that is kind of grand, you know. And it's definitely, definitely noticeable. Anybody that comes in my house, they definitely, you know, see it. So, I mean, my altar has evolved over time. So anybody out there that's just getting started, you know, start with what you got. Because, you know, being called to do the work, do the work. You know, my motto, do the work.
Do the work. That's it right there. You got to do the work. You got to be consistent. You got to be on it.
You got to be on it. I mean, there's a big difference between being on it and not being on it at your altar. And there's a big difference in your physical. If you establish a connection with your ancestors, you're feeding them on the regular, and then all of a sudden you stop feeding them, they're going to still be hungry. So what they're going to do is feed off of you. You're going to start having pains. I don't want to scare anybody now. I might not even want to talk about that. But, you know, you might not have pains. I don't want to say that.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but you'll have this overwhelming feeling of, I got to get back to my altar.
Yeah. It's like you'll get a spiritual nudge.
You'll get a spiritual nudge. That's a very eloquent way to say it.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, madame. Tu es très jolie aujourd'hui.
Je ne t'ai pas dit.
My bad. I got a question, too.
Please.
How y'all feel about, like, I'm from Louisiana, and most, you know, my ancestors, they ate a lot of shellfish and stuff like that, and I noticed that Dr. Gibson last week was talking about, you know, foods that we shouldn't eat, and I want your opinion on how you feel about giving them an offering of something they used to eat.
Me, personally, I'm a fan of that. I mean, there's foods that we shouldn't eat. Like, I don't like to eat pork. But if my grandmama loved pork, I would give her some if that's what she liked. I don't smoke cigarettes, but my father did. I put cigarettes on my altar for him, some tobacco. You know what I mean? So I give my ancestors whatever they like.
I'm a little different on that. I don't do pork at all on my altar, just because I just feel like pork is a lower level energy food. But that's just me, you know. Some people, you know, they believe, like Chris said, they believe in giving their ancestors whatever they crave. Some people will have ancestors who may have been vegetarians, or they themselves may be vegetarians, but there's importance to putting meat on the altar.
Because of the energy in the meat. And I like to put high vibratory foods on my altar.
Yeah.
Me, personally, I've yet to put pork on my altar because I don't eat it. So I'm not going to give my ancestors something that I don't eat. But for someone who loves to smack on pork chops and ribs, throw a rib on your altar. That's what you're eating. I'm pretty sure you have some ancestors that love smoking bone ribs.
Definitely. Pipes. I put coffee on there for my dad sometimes.
I got tequila on
mine. Liquor.
Yes, it's your space. Whatever you feel, you'll know. You'll know. But I like to put high vibratory foods on my altar, you know.
Definitely. I think that's what I'm going to go with. And last but not least, family, I want to give a special shout out to Tasha Ford. I hope she's listening. She hit me up today and she asked me to help her start her online cooking shows. And that's like right up my alley because I was building with her and I was letting her know that one of the things I aspire to do is, I don't know if y'all familiar with the YouTube channel Black Magic 363. It's Brother Rich in New York. And what he kind of does is he takes his spiritual community and he does interviews with them. And I was explaining that to Tasha that that's what I want to do with y'all, like with Tasha, you, Ali, everybody, you know, be able to come on location and do my interviews. So when I called into the radio show this morning to Mind Right Radio, my phone, as soon as I said hello, my phone started going off and it's Tasha. She was like, I got to talk to you. So between shows, I was building with her and I was like, look, I'm going to shout you out. I'm going to keep you accountable because I feel like the spirit is just moving us all collectively to like step into our greatness. You know what I'm saying? So I just love y'all. I'm proud of y'all. You continue listening and support.
Love you too, sis.
Love you too.
You've been supporting us since we first feasted eyes on each other. So, hey, I appreciate
definitely
everything. Definitely.
I
like
appreciate y'all. I mean,
it was to the Hootie Knew Me, wasn't it? Yeah. She was always the first one logged in with the pen and the pad. She wasn't even, you know, we didn't even have our video on. She was like, I'm in.
Right.
Video open. Eye contact. I'm like, she's serious?
Man. Serious.
Ooh, legendary.
I knew y'all from just hearing y'all call in to Ali's show.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew y'all it just helped me put a face with a name, and then the retreat just took it to a whole nother level, you know.
It did.
I think it took everybody to a whole nother level.
It did. It really did. Mm-hmm. It took me
really
to a whole new level,
man,
of love. I never thought I could, like, fall in love with people that I just met for the first time. You know what I mean? That don't happen to me.
Right. That's what spiritual growth is about, though.
Yeah.
You connect with people, and it's like,
yeah,
you know, you just instantly fall in love with people,
yeah,
because everyone has good intentions. Everyone has such a great soul,
yeah,
such great hearts. You know, I can't express it anymore. It's always nothing but love.
Nothing
I have
but
nothing
love.
But love for everyone that's
yeah
on these journeys with me.
Man, I'm making the sun blink, people. This is the first time this has happened in human history. People making the sun blink. That just doesn't happen. And my spiritual dream team is winning.
That's who you are.
Right. And I just, when y'all, that's why I like that y'all using that winning, because everything y'all post and every good thing that's happening, y'all, I just feel the love. Like, everything y'all share, if it's personal with y'all family and whatnot, I feel like I'm winning too. You know, I feel like my daughter just got a new car. You know, I just, every little thing just adds and builds. So I appreciate y'all sharing, man. For real.
Hey,
we could
man
go on and on, but I appreciate
it. All in all, we just shut the show down with just gratitude.
For real.
Yeah, we could. We really could.
We really could. Mm-hmm. I could just go on and on. We just giving the family just a smidgen of the love that we have for one another. People just don't know.
Right.
I heard Ali
right
talk to you about how when we're at the mound, since you're in a spiritual dream team, you're getting some residuals from that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I love
definitely
how when we went to the mound and you called into the show, you were geeked just like we were. You know, once you're spiritually tethered, it's for a lifetime.
It is.
Right. And like with Sunshine Rock and the YouTube channel. Like, I mean, with the YouTube thing, I'm so proud. And at the same time, I'm watching the YouTube video. Like, I can't wait to be in the video. Like, I'm really excited, you know, to get my thing going. You know, I got Tasha inspired to register her business, you know, tonight. And people just ready to, you know, step into the better versions of themselves, man. And we just raising our vibration. And we ain't got time for the negativity, man. We above that. Like, you know, they say the police is above the law. We above the negativity. We just killing all that.
There it is. Man, that was
a
beautiful
right there. I love you, man. This is the beginning, man. We building and building. Building and building. And y'all pioneering things. And just know y'all got the support. Y'all got the support.
Oh,
We definitely
for sure.
I mean, and received and reflected.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in, sis.
Y'all have a great week. Keep the energy going. And I can't wait to talk to y'all again.
And we'll be here every Sunday at 7, sis. Sunday at 7. That's how we roll.
Peace and love, sis.
Peace
and love.
Beautiful soul right there, man.
Man, shout out to Adrian.
Shout out. Thank you. She's a divine soul too.
Yes, she is. She was right before me.
Mm-hmm.
I saw her video and was like, I gotta get outside. My sister made it. I gotta make it too.
That's it. That's how we roll.
You know, shout out to... Shout out to Amaria Tucker. She is
the legend.
Yes. In Subcom, she's giving out free Tahuti Numi readings and oracle readings. So, fam, y'all better jump on that.
You need to join the subconscious community, family. If you're really into spirituality and growing, join the subconscious community. We're admins. We'll see you come in, and we'll accept you to the fam.
Yes, we will.
But love. Got number love for you. Got number love for you. Got number love for you. That's the whole phone, baby.
All right. I'm done clowning with you. So we got another caller. Let's take another caller before we move on.
Okay.
All right. Calling from the 917-565. You're on the air. What's your name and where you calling from, PHP?
This is Natasha, and I heard Adrienne putting me on blast.
I call her Chef Boyardee, but I never call her that. But you know, that's what I say. I'm not Chef Boyardee. You know what I'm saying?
Man, we are happy to hear about my new business venture.
Yeah, and congratulations on the solar sun blinking, too.
Indeed.
Thank you. Well, congrats to you guys, especially this morning. Chris, you just lifted my spirit this morning when you shared the solar blinking and how you feel all that joy. I was like, I was just feeling so much joy. You just turned my frown down and I put on a happy face.
Hey, I felt so much joy. It was kind of like a volcano with, I don't know what it was. I haven't felt joy like that since I was Christmas when I was like 8 years old, when I first got my He-Man and Castle Grayskull. I was just so excited that I screamed.
Like
I love the power. I was waking up. I was literally waking up the neighbors.
He was.
Let me tell you something. I feel like both you and Divine Queen are like the epitome of joy. Like if I'm feeling a little... Like, there's something about you guys, I just laugh every time I think about you guys. Because I'm like, you guys crack me all the way up. You, Swim, and Divine Queen just crack me up. It's like, I'm like, I'm serious. I'm serious. You guys have a very funny, loving, just happy-go-lucky kind of energy about you.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate that. We try to always keep it light.
Keep
fun.
It light and fun. This is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Who we are. This is what we do.
Even when we do get to our feelings, we snap out of it pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to remind ourselves that we guys don't pout or chat.
Exactly.
Oh.
It's interesting. because you guys were talking about altars, and I remember when I first started my altar. Funny enough, actually, that's how I found Ali, because when I started Googling on YouTube, like doing some YouTube search on altars and what it all means to have an altar, that's when I stumbled on Ali. And the interesting thing is, and I haven't really shared this with a lot of people, but I wanted to share it with the family out there just to inspire you about why I feel like an altar is so important. It's like I had a son 16 years ago that died from stillbirth, and I kept his obituary and his picture with me always. And then also my uncle, who I was very close to, he was the first death I really experienced when I was a little girl. He died when I was about 8 years old from cancer, and I was so close to that uncle, and I kept his obituary from the time I was eight, you know, all the way to an adult. And just like, you know, and so when I made my first altar and I found the obituaries, I was like, that's so interesting that I would carry these things around for so many years. Like, I left Barbados with my uncle's obituary, and it was so fully intact. You know, like, and I remember when I first bought this book about ancestor knowledge or something, my very first book that I learned about the ancestors and the importance of connecting with them, you know, and it was like the ancestors know who in the family to call out. It's like they know who they're going to get to, who's going to listen, you know. So I built my altars, and my altars have been major in my life, because I remember even when I was in New York before I moved to Florida, I was going through a divorce. I lost my business. I had to lay employees off. I had to decide to do bankruptcy. I lost my home. And I still kept, you know, there were nights when I was at my altar and I cried for hours and hours and hours and hours. Like, you know, I was just feeling like I was losing everything. Little did I know, they were just stripping me down. And I felt like my altar was my support system. They were just preparing me for just much more to come. You know, and when I made the decision to move to Florida, I mean, I felt I went into depression, but I still connected to my altar. And even when I was having the worst days of my life, you know, my altar carried me through. I was able to sit there and pour my heart out to my uncle and my son, and I used to dream about them and connect with them. And even when I had no food, I used to, you know, there were times in New York when I had enough money for food, and I used to just bring home whatever I got from at work, working in the kitchen, and just give them an offering as well and eat with them like they were just there, you know, and just feel their presence. And now I'm like, I'm in Florida, and I just feel like everything just fall in line. Like, I mean, I've always been having the ability to manifest things, but it's like my manifesting has turned up, you know, and I don't forget my ancestors. You know, when I feel like I forgot them, like if I fell asleep one night and I forgot to put the food on the altar and offer it to them, or I didn't give them a burning, I get up in the morning, I make them breakfast, and I'm like, this is just for you. This is because I forgot, you know. And that's how and even with the gods and the deities, I honor all of them, even if I don't connect to everybody on my altar on the same time, because I work with one energy at a time. I connect to my altar, and I honor the goddess Oshun, Talise, who I've been working with for the past 2 months, and she just has me on fire, and she's just teaching me so many things. You know, so, you know, that's the beautiful thing about my altar. And now that I've moved into, and I've manifested even moving into a different apartment that I love, and I put my altar right in my little office / meditation altar room. I put my altar right in my prosperity corner. You know, when you move into a house with far less prosperity corner, and I put my little 11 cents under my altar, and I'm like, you know, this is not just about money, this is about prospering in every area of my life, you know.
That's really something, when you don't have much but you still give to your altar.
They see that. And you're just the ambassador of your family. There's one in every family. But the ancestors know that who's going to take care of them. There's not many. If you have a big family, you might have one or two. I got like three of mine because we have a huge family.
Yep. So far, I don't even know if anybody else does what I do, but well, I have an aunt who's kind of still straddling the fence trying to figure things out. But for the most part, I don't go, like, according to Ali, I go hard body all day, and I'm winning like crap.
Hey, man. Hey, it's all good. I love hearing it. There's nothing more refreshing than someone taking care of their ancestors in my book, because when you're taking care of your ancestors, they're going to take care of you. You probably don't even have any problems no more, because they extinguish your problem before they even start. Mm-hmm. If they do occur, they don't last long.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sis, thanks for calling in. We got like two more people coming.
Okay,
all
good.
All minds lit up. You inspired some people, Tasha.
Uh-huh.
Well, thank you. Well, you know what? I started, as soon as the show came on and you said you were burning your sage, I lit my sage and my frankincense and my other incense, and I was like, my house is going to be cool, chilling. The energy is just
right. Man, that's that 80s lingo, cool, chilling. I love it. I am young folks don't understand. But sis, thanks for calling in. We really appreciate the support.
We sure do.
Most definitely.
And congratulations.
Thank you. Of course. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
All right. Peace and love, sis. Talk to you later.
Peace. The support is real. I just love these, man.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we do got a couple more callers on the line. I'm going to go ahead and bring your mama.
Oh, my mama.
Peace and love, family. Hey, I just had to call in because I got the little small altar area, but I just ordered me a bookshelf, and I ordered some stuff from Ali's site to go on my altar. But the one question I got, like the one caller before, my altar right now is when you walk in, it's on the left-hand side, but, you know, I got that big window with all my plants, and I really want my altar to sit right there by all my plants. So should I still keep it on the left-hand side, or can I move it to where all my plants are?
The ideal place for your altar is the east corner of your home.
Right.
You may need to download an app to find out which is your east corner. But if something's taking the space in your east corner, sure, put your altar by your plants.
Mm-hmm.
Or what you because it's good to have sunlight on your altar anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't, I know you have a lot of plants. You could just put one plant on your altar.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple plants on my altar, but yeah, whatever you feel.
And, you know, like, east is good because that's where the sun rises, but you can also do west because that's where the sun sets.
Mm-hmm.
You can do north or south, but the ideal spot would be like the east or west wall of your home.
Mm-hmm.
And like Chris said, you can download the compass app, and that'll let you know, like, you know, what area is east or west, north, south for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I get up, you know, I'm going to take a picture of it and send it to you.
Please do. I accept.
Mm-hmm. So y'all can tell
me
if I should be on that side or the other side.
I'm free Tuesday. You know, I don't mind coming through. You talking about altar, I'll be thrilled.
Well, I just ordered my stuff. I ain't got it yet.
Yeah.
As soon as I get everything, I'll let you come through and check it out for me.
I will. That's a done deal. Just let me know when the bird hit the fan. Hey, when it gets there, I'm there.
Okay, I'll let you know. Hopefully, it'll be this week.
Okay, cool.
Good.
Proud of my mama.
Can't wait.
I'm going to say it again. Proud of my mama.
Hey, I'm moving up.
All the way up.
That's right. I'm going on
my mama.
Up.
All the way up.
You so goofy. I'm getting rid of that glass tape off and keep some wood.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
But that's all I have to say, babe. Y'all take care.
Well, thanks for calling in. Love you, and we'll talk later.
All right. Peace out.
Peace and love.
My mama. We got a couple more callers, but I just want to touch on something real quick.
Okay.
So one of the questions that I was just asked was, what about the organization of the altar? If you look in the SubCom community, there's a lot of people who shared their altars there, and everyone, you can take ideas from other people's altars and how they set them up. Chris and I have both shared our altars in the SubCom community, but what we like to do is you want to have an altar, ideally, you know, start where you can, but once you're at the point where you can build more on your altar, you can invest more into it, you want to have an altar that is taller than you.
Right.
Because you want to make sure that you're showing the proper respect to the gods and the goddesses.
In time, you can have an altar that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it took me and Nicole a while to get there.
Yeah.
So go baby steps, fam. Baby steps. The most important thing is setting an altar up and establishing the connection. There are some people out there with jar altars.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, the importance is just having one. We have another.
If you do have like a bookshelf altar, you want to put your deities at the highest level. You want to have your ancestors' pictures towards the middle, and then you want to have your food and your staple offerings at the bottom, along with any personal items.
Mm-hmm.
So just wanted to get that in there real quick because that was a question that had popped through.
Mm.
All right, so next person, we have a little more time to bring people through. We're going to go with caller with the 864-356. You're on the line. Peace, peace. Where are you calling from?
Peace and greetings. This is Omaria. The legend.
What's going on, sis?
I think I'm going to get him today. I'm going to see it out.
I'm just increasing my joy.
Man.
I just want to say thank you guys for the shout out. Chris, I have a question for you, for me and for
sure.
All the callers that may want to know, and you too, Divine Queen. What are your most favorite mantras to speak at your altar or during the dance?
Me personally, my favorite mantra that I use daily, like 50 to 60 times a day, or what, even in my mind, is the miracle prayer.
Mm-hmm.
My second favorite mantra right now is my first mantra that I learned, the Ganesha, the Lord Ganesha mantra. And my third favorite mantra is the Asnisa Vijaya.
Mm-hmm.
I have it two-thirds finished. I have one paragraph left. It's daunting, but I'm enjoying the ride.
Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to learn the Medicine Buddha prayer. So I'm working on that one now, falling in love with that. But, yeah, all the same as that Chris said.
Mm-hmm. That Lord Ganesha mantra, that's like...
That's our lifesaver.
That's our lifesaver. I've used it like 8 times, and within 20 minutes, whatever I needed was there.
Mm-hmm.
I would just be real, family. One time I needed $1,400.
Mm-hmm.
I went to my altar, pulled out my lotus flower beads from Tibet, mala beads, and I counted 108 times. I said the mantra, and within that hour, I had my $1,400. So that's the one that
awesome.
I suggest everyone learn. Yeah, real talk.
Mm-hmm. And today we went on the Master's YouTube page,
mm-hmm.
and we listened to the miracle prayer, blessing prayer.
Oh.
And man, let me just tell you that. Just sent chills down my spine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the energy that came out when they spoke those words. And, I mean, we listened to it like I don't know how many times.
Yeah. Oh,
and, you know, we said it with them. We let them talk. We, you know, we just, man.
We love the Master. I've never loved the non-parents so much. They are my parents. But I just want to say thank you because you inspired us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with
thank
your
you
son, Blinky, you don't know what to say. Oh, you're more than welcome, sis.
Mm-hmm.
We legends now, too. I got to stop saying that. We're legends now, too.
That's right. That's right. Win a circle.
What?
So I will let you guys take your next callers, but have a good evening. I'm so proud of you, and I can't wait to see some more blinking suns.
Every day, sis.
Oh, yeah.
I got like 8 right now just waiting to upload, but I don't want to flood the gate. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready.
Have a good evening.
Peace and
peace
love.
And love. The love is real, man.
Yeah,
the love is real.
All right, we got one more caller.
We do?
Yes, we do. Okay. Caller from the 513-655. What's your name? Where
yo,
you calling from?
The call. Yo, peace. Can you hear
oh.
me?
Yes, it is. Yo. For those who don't know, let people know who you are, God.
Yo, gracias, gracias, Ali. Hey, appreciate it. Hey, yo, silly. Hey, shout out to Moria for grabbing her spiritual nuts, man. Like, I
oh,
love
wow,
that.
Wow.
Hey, I'm a legend. Like, what? What are you talking about? That's what I'm talking about. Beautiful. And,
mm-hmm.
But, hey, dude, I know, hello? We still here, bro? Okay. Hey, yeah, like, this is what I want y'all to talk about, if you don't mind. But it's one of the things I'm about
mm-hmm.
to start really stressing, because a lot of people working with the altar. And what I know with y'all for sure, and a lot of other people, is you go from a transition from worshiping the deities to becoming the deities. So I want y'all
mm-hmm.
to, like, you know, but you can mute me out.
Well, me personally, when I first got my altar up, I was in like a worship state. But now I'm like in an energy invoking state. Like when I go do my sun meditations and my solar practices, I call out to the sun who I am. I tell the sun, I am Tahuti, I am Ra, I am Ogun, I am Oshun. All those deities reside in me. And when I do things, whatever I'm doing, I invoke energy from them. I don't look at them as separate from me anymore, like they're up on this pedestal. I look at them as like energy sources. I look at them as facets of my subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. And I can pull from my subconscious and I'm just excited about these deities, man. It's just, go ahead, babe. You talk. I can't even talk.
For me, the way that I knew which deities I wanted to work with, well, I didn't even know which deities I wanted to work with. I didn't know why I was drawn to certain deities. But now I realize the reason why I'm drawn to those deities is because they are me. I am them. We are one. I pull from their energy when I need it. I request their love, their protection, and guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And when I want to, if I want to go out and I want to do some magic, I invoke my offset.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to get some blessings, I invoke Oshun. If I'm trying to overcome an obstacle, I invoke Lord Ganesha. You know.
Let me get some tips on how you invoke energy from a deity.
Okay.
You're sitting at your altar. You've done your mantras or what have you. I stick my my left hand out, my receiving hand, and I place it over the third eye of the deity that I'm rocking with, and I pull their energy into me that way. I invoke their spirit into me. I ask them to help me manifest them in me. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
You still there, brother?
Oh, yeah, I thought I said mute me out. Yeah, I just wanted y'all to talk about that because I know a lot of people are doing the altar work and they like, man, what's the next step, man? The next step is you become those
mm-hmm.
deities and put in that work, which you hear Adrian talking
mm-hmm.
about, which you hear Marty talking about, and what y'all are doing. So.
All right, God, peace. And that's the brother that my mama just went to his shop, L9shop.com,
mm-hmm.
and got everything she needed for an altar there.
Anything you need for an altar, you can find at the L9shop.com.
L9shop.com. Everything you need. It's like the altars are us.
That's what I call them.
Boy, that's why I'm like, man, they got everything. Man, they got altar toothbrushes. Maybe they don't. Oh, my bad. That's what I'm saying.
They got everything.
Don't pay him no attention. All right, well, we appreciate you calling in, Ali. We
definitely.
Got nothing but love for you. And, I mean, I don't know.
You
I'm at a loss of words. Probably. And you know, you continue to inspire us.
Continue.
And others as well.
Man. Oh, yeah.
Peace
and love,
God.
You all too.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
That dude right there.
You know, when I saw Ali's altar, I was like, it's time for me to step up my game.
When I felt the energy of his altar.
The energy. Yeah.
You know, it was stuff in there that I had, I didn't know what was going on. It was like, whoa. And now I'm, you know, reminiscing on what I've seen. And now I know it, and it's just like, man, I've come so far so quick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about having your spiritual family. It helps you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just fast-tracked me to the master, all the questions he answered, and found answer. I didn't have any, I mean, it was just real life.
And the thing that I liked was that he didn't always give you the answers. He just give you a couple little breadcrumbs,
yeah,
and then let you find the answer. And then you go back to him, and he'd be like,
I know. I want to hear. He's definitely a breadcrumb dropper.
Yeah, he is.
Man.
So, you know, that was a really good thing that he brought up about invoking the energy of the ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Master Gibson says is that we all have gods that live within us. And
mm-hmm.
we can tell, like, who our spiritual parents are. One of the ways that we can tell is just by, you know, your resemblance to the deities.
Yeah. Like, a lot of my, and it could be attributes of you. It doesn't have
it
to be physical.
It could be physical. It could be, you know, anything that's relatable.
Every deity on my altar just happened to have a weapon. I wasn't like, oh, I want to get a bunch of warrior deities, but every deity on my altar got some form of a weapon, and every deity on your altar is just beautiful. So, you know what I mean? You know, weaponry is an aspect of myself, and beauty embodies you. So, hey.
Thank you.
Yeah, spiritual innuendo.
You made me lose my thought. It was something else I wanted to bring up real quick.
Well, I'm just going to talk about real quick, since we're running out of time, how to program your altar.
Please.
There's three things you need to be aware of to program your altar, family. Daily use, being open with yourself and the universe, invoking all your feminine energy, and giving thanks daily and showing consistency. Those are the things that you need to do to program your altar.
Okay, I remember what I was going to say. Back to the spiritual parents. So you can have deities that are your spiritual parents, and there's different ways to find out who your spiritual parents are, but I'm going to recommend two. The first one is going to the L9shop.com
mm-hmm.
and purchasing
Deity Linkage.
This book, Through the Art of Numerology, a system that Ali invented, put together called Tahuti Numi. He was able to link deities with your numerology numbers to find out who your spiritual parents are. We have the book. We did the work. It was on point.
On point.
You know, another good way to find out who your spiritual parents are is to go to tybro.com,
mm-hmm.
T-Y-B-R-O.com, and purchase the master's book, Finding Your Spiritual Parents, and... Is it Putting Up Your Altar? I can't remember.
Finding Your Spiritual Parents. If you type that in search, you'll get there.
You'll get there. It is worth the investment. It is worth the time. It is worth you finding out who your true connection should be, you know, turned to.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do it by, you know, the day that you were born on. Some people do it by your numerology, your planets. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
different ways to find this out. You just have to do what's best for you.
I just want to close with this, family. Beings are watching everything you do and say and even think, family. When the universe sees you expanding your consciousness and creating more dharma for yourself, you're rewarding. Elevating your consciousness by healing others, tapping into your true self, and power and godlike abilities are just a reward for just maximizing your spirituality, family.
Mm-hmm. Well said. So much that we could cover with altars, and I feel a part two coming somewhere
Definitely.
Further down the line. But, you know, I got to say, this has been a fantastic show.
Mm-hmm.
I had a fantastic week, and, you know, will the same for the rest of the fam. You know, I know that Mondays can be stressful and crazy, but, you know.
Create your own bubble of happiness.
There you go.
And stay in your boundaries.
There you go.
Everything is about perception, family.
It sure is.
Don't let triggers trigger you.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's mad, don't let that affect your character.
Smile.
And wish them well.
Increase your joy.
And remember, is that right?
Well, family, we've come to the end of this show. Again, we appreciate your support, and we will see you next Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This is Divine Queen.
And this is Chris Enlightened.
And we're going to say peace out.
Peace.
Twin Flame Radio.